Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio. I am your host and guide, Jojapa Maria Ensaroma, and I want to make sure my mic is working because it looks like it is not. So hopefully it is working. I may need to plug it into something else, but we'll see in a minute. Hopefully it's working. let me start out by saying that May is the first of two Earth months that we have here in this mineral year of clarity, confidence, and courage. And May brings the initial honoring of the energetic of the Earth element, and it invites us to open up to receive what we need to be fulfilled, nurtured, appreciated, and loved. My theme for May is right relations, and I'll provide this broadcast as what I originally thought was going to be three, but it turns out to be two because I was not well last week. So it'll be this as the last concluding broadcast about right relations, and I am explaining why it's essential for fulfillment, how and when to create it, and who it involves besides yourself. So tonight I'll focus on the how and the when. I'm just unplugging my microphone here to make sure that I have it plugged in. Unfortunately, I don't have some other speakers so that I can kind of see what's going on. So let me plug it in here. But it should be, it usually is, it lights up and it's not doing that. And that's what's making me a little nervous that it may not be working. So if you're watching this and you're getting no sound, let me plug that in again. I apologize, but hopefully it really is working, and maybe I'm just not seeing it not working. No, hopefully it is working. Anyway, I will trust the process. Now, for those of you who may be listening in for the first time, let me give you a brief overview of the program. Wisdom Walk is a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the essential goal of my shows is to support listeners with learning how to recognize and release any pain that is blocking fulfillment in life, or what I like to call having your happy endings in life. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, I broadcast live on both Black Hole Radio and YouTube. Unless I get sick like I did last week or I'm on some hiatus. But if for some reason you can't access the internet to listen or watch, you may listen to the live radio broadcast and or call into the show at this number, which is area code 563-999-3089. Also, the web link that I provide for the radio broadcast on my Facebook page, or you may receive it through a constant contact email, that serves as an archive link. So if you're unable to listen to this broadcast live, you can listen later. And, of course, you can access the YouTube video on my channel, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery, as soon as I'm done with this live streaming, if you're not live streaming it. But right now, I invite you to sit or lay back and join me for an exploration of the inner landscape where we can connect to the soul and discover the true treasure of being human. Wow, we have made it to the end of April. And let me tell you, this has been quite a month. A friend told me at the end of April, strap yourself in, you get ready to go on a roller coaster ride. And it really, really has been that. And it's been a great ride. Some wonderful, wonderful things have manifested for me in my life in ways that I could never, never have imagined. I've also had the experience of receiving support to a degree I've never known or allowed in my life. And I see that as a great milestone and great evidence of the good work I've done to self-master and to really, really open up to learning how to be here on this planet and to be part of a wider, much wider web of relationships. So I hope many of you are also having similar experiences or had them during May, because it really is an important year to be on purpose, to remember that we came with purpose, and to open up to really, really experiencing and walking that. So we're right here in the United States celebrating Memorial Day weekend. And Memorial Day is a time that is set aside to honor the veterans of all the wars that this country has been involved in. Memorial Day originally began after the end of the Civil War, right at the end of the Civil War, by formerly slaves who are now free black men and women, and who in Charleston, North Carolina, after burying the dead, both Union and Confederate soldiers, decided to do a parade around this racetrack that had been used as a Southern prison. And the children led the way in this march of celebration for the end of slavery, the end of the Civil War. And then they had a huge barbecue. And that still remains a very important tradition among black people in America, that Memorial Day kicks off the summer barbecue season. So because of the black ancestors' ability to see the bigger picture about what peace and the end of a war could be, and so they included both sides in it. There was a general who was very affected by it and went into, you know, operation to have it become something that happened in other places, and eventually it became a national holiday. So I wanted to, this weekend especially, because every week I open my show by honoring the ancestors, to, of course, take a moment to honor the veterans. I also wanted to point out that 2019 is marks the 400th year since the first African came over to North America in chains, and that this year it kicks off a time of increased awareness among black people that even though we came in chains, we have come very, very far in our ability to be in right relations, which I'm talking about, to really have and maintain a sense of self-worth, self-value, despite whatever was done to us, whatever was said to us, and what continues to go on because of racism in America and the violence, especially against black men. But I wanted to note that an example of, you know, just the human spirit in general, because I think the black story is a human story. But I found out that yesterday, on May 25th, there were 34 black women cadets graduating from West Point. This is unprecedented, and it's really huge because, and again, I'm not someone who believes in war, but I honor and respect people who choose to serve in the military. And West Point isn't an easy thing to get into. You have to have a really high GPA. It has to be at least 3.7. when they only accept 10 out of every 100 recruits. And when you get in, your tuition is free. You actually get a stipend of about $10,000 a year during the 4 years that you are in training. And then when you come out, you are a member of the officers group. And so these women will all be second lieutenants, and they will be earning something like $75,000 a year. And they have to serve for about 5 years, but they have no student loans. And so it's an amazing, amazing story. West Point also appointed a black man for the first time as the superintendent of the school. And so that's a remarkable thing. And I have talked about the first black man who did graduate from West Point back in the 1800s and the experiences that he had and what he went through. And so to see the difference now, it's just pretty, pretty amazing. And so the story of ancestor veterans is, you know, quite powerful, and, you know, especially for black people, the fact that black people were being willing, put it that way, being willing to serve in the military despite racism in America, and to be willing to put their lives on the line or to even expend their lives for freedom and for their understanding of freedom is quite remarkable. But I think anybody who does serve in the military, is worthy of us taking a moment to remember and to honor them. And so just ask that you think about your ancestors who may have been in the military, whether they're blood related or not. Can also think about famous ancestors who served in the military and made contribution. And to just call out their names, think about them. And, I'm sending up a prayer for all veterans, that all ancestor veterans who have served in the military. So, and in my family, it's interesting, none of the immediate men in my family really served. I had an uncle that got kicked out because of racism. Somebody called him the N-word, and he fought. And at that time, they just put him out. And I did have another uncle. That's right. He was in, I think he was in the Army during the time of the Korean War, I believe. So, but nobody that really kind of saw battle or came back with post-traumatic stress syndrome or anything like that. But I'm going to say up this prayer, which is ancestors, 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 those of you who served in the military and put your lives on the line, we're calling out to you and we're asking you to be a service, a support, a guide, a wisdom for us, especially at this time in the world when we really, 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 really need to be about peace and peacemaking. We know that you know the horrors of being involved in the military, especially when you're on the front lines, or even not, just the level of fear when a country is at war that it elicits. And so you know about war. And so we ask and thank you for imbuing our consciousness with a higher consciousness so that we really get to a point as humanity to choose not to go to war, because always, always the innocent suffer. And so, ancestors, on this weekend of Memorial Day and this weekend of remembering you, we ask and thank you again for being that way shower to us about peace and peacemaking. And Creator, I ask and thank you for the blessing of the ancestors in the name of all that is holy. I say amen. Ashe Aholasah, Shinkam Dismilan. So it is. So it is. All righty. I want to share with you a little bit of the astrological and elemental wisdom for this week coming up. I have the elemental wisdom first, and then I'll tell you a little bit about the astrological. Astrological hasn't been as bad as it has been, although that moon we just had, the full moon we had was pretty intense. But for the most part, it was nothing like what April and March was. Oh, my God. But the elemental wisdom for this week, and it starts on Tuesday, the 28th, and we'll go through Monday. Okay, hold on for 1 second. Somebody is telling me that they can't hear me. I'm so glad that they let me know that, because I really do need to work on this. So let me just let them know. Okay. And I have no idea why this is being so ornery to me this week. But let me try to see what I can do here for why my microphone isn't working. Excuse me for 1 second. I beg your patience as I try to get this to do what it's supposed to do. So it's plugged in, but it is so not doing its thing. I think I'm going to have to stop the stream and reload it. That helps. And I think I've got to reload it. Thanks again for your patience. It's just not doing what it's supposed to do. Okay, let's see. I'll let this person know. Let me reload this. Again, thank you so much for your patience. This is really such a pain, but I think I can do it. I hope it works. If it doesn't, I'll just have to do it later. Push a couple of buttons here to get this started. Okay. Let's see if it starts up. And let's go live again. See if it's going to work now. Okay. But I still am not seeing my sound working. So I think for whatever reason, I just don't have any sound on my live stream, which doesn't make a lot of sense. But oh well, I tried it. But it's just not... It doesn't seem to be working, and it should be working, but it's not anyway. Thank you for your patience. I'm going to continue, and I can reset this later. So back to the elemental wisdom for the week. This is a nature week that we have coming up, starting on Tuesday and going through Monday, June the 6th. Can you believe it? June is here already. And it's an opportunity for welcoming change, And it's also about being courageous in the welcoming of that change. It's about opening the door fully to the new transformative challenges and learnings which the universe is providing in answer to and support of your prayers, intentions, goals, and annual commitments. It's about receiving the power of love and the supportive and playful energy of the nature element to experience the more of who you are. Now, distractions to this. Addictive behaviors in whatever form they take. That could be drugs, alcohol, indiscriminate sexual activity, overworking, overshopping, overuse of Facebook and other social media tools and apparatus. So in other words, you know, that addictive quality, addictive behaviors can really, really take over. And so we have to really, really really be on the lookout for that. Being judgmental of yourself and others, not good. And taking yourself or other people or things too seriously can also be a great hindrance to the welcoming of change. And, you know, it's something that we all have to do, but it is something that can be very, very challenging to do. So clearly, it's easy for us to get distracted by those things. So just to pay attention to that this week, because again, this is a week of change. It's this change coming up, change coming in, and it's just, you know, it's going to happen. This is the best way to think about it. It's definitely going to happen. So fighting it is not a good use of our time or energy. It's not a good use of our time or energy. Now, next week, the following week, we will have a mineral week. And, of course, I will share about that in the next broadcast. Now, astrologically, like I said, there was a really powerful Scorpio moon that occurred, full moon that occurred, and brought up some stuff, opened up some stuff, may have caused some temptations to bubble up, you know, maybe some frustrations, but just know that all of that was to just help us become more mindful, if you will, about the things that we really need to be aware of. Like, what does push our button? How is our button being pushed? And what's going on? So, yeah. Most and definitely. So, having gotten through that, two things coming up for tomorrow and then on the 31st. One is that Mercury is squaring Neptune. And what does that mean? It means that because both Mercury and Neptune are in their home signs, Mercury is going to be in Gemini and Neptune is in Pisces, they're both very powerful and willing to impose their agendas. And again, this information is coming from an astrologer I like called Astro Butterfly. And so she says that, you know, you're being kind of put into this position to think about the difference between reason, which Mercury represents, or imagination, which Neptune represents. And she said, to make the best out of this energy, do a bit of both. Allow your imagination to guide you, but when things get really slippery, remember to do a reality check. So very, very, very interesting energy to come up tomorrow, on Tuesday. And then on the 31st, she says that Mercury is going to be opposite Jupiter. And what this means is that there will be this motivation to really go into doubt, the motivation to go into doubt. But because of Jupiter's energy, there will be support to keep the faith, to believe no matter what. And she shared this quote from an Alfred Korzybski. And the quote is, there are two ways to slide easily through life, to believe everything or doubt everything. Both ways keep us from thinking. So again, it's this thing about, you know, holding the balance. She says, as with everything, the key is to reconcile our differences. That's how we grow. That's how we evolve. And so instead of, you know, believing in everything or believing in nothing, to just stay open to learning. That's how I'm interpreting that. So very interesting energies over the next 2 days as we then step in, that we then come around and step into the month of June. And June is always a wonderful time for celebrations of graduation or weddings. It's the end of the school year for the most part, and the beginning of the summer. So June is always a good month, a good time to look forward to some more good change. Now, I want to talk about right relations, and I'm going to do that by just a quick review of what I talked about last week in terms of why it is essential. And then I will do a riff on how and when to be in right relations, as well as, and then especially for the 21st century. And then I'm going to add on about you and who else, meaning how right relations is so much more about just you, but how it affects the people around you. And then I will share a personal challenge. So my quote for tonight also comes from where my last quote did, from Gary Zukav, Seed of the Soul, his chapter on relationships. And he says, your decision to evolve consciously through responsible choice contributes not only to your own evolution, but also to the evolution of all those aspects of humanity in which you participate. You're related to every form of life on this planet and beyond. As your soul evolves, you move into greater awareness of the nature of that relationship and the responsibilities that you assume. Really great quote. So, right relations, I talked about it as that practice of reciprocity in indigenous wisdom, meaning whatever you put out is what's going to come back. So put out something good so something good can come back to you. It's also an awareness that for everything that you take, whether it's from another person, whether it's from the earth, that you should also give something back, that you should never just take, but also give back. And reciprocity sometimes isn't like putting a nickel in a slot. Sometimes I'm going to pay it forward, or sometimes I'm going to do, knowing that maybe the coming back may not come from that person or that situation, but I trust that it will come back to me in time. I talked about the fact that, you know, my sharing about core wound alchemy was important so that we could have a broader understanding about right relations, because it's through your taking on the healing of your core wound that you're able to believe, and in a real way, not just an intellectual way, that there are no disposable people. And right relations in the 21st century is committing to eliminating that belief in disposable people. So that means that, you know, right relations is about allaying fears versus transferring fears. It's about providing hope versus inciting anger. It's about sharing love and compassion without withholding love and compassion. And it's also about turning the other cheek, and not from a place of, excuse me, I'm being victimized or bullied, and or I'm just open for abuse. No, it really is about I'm taking a stand that I will not allow myself to be dismissed, because really when, you know, someone hits you on the cheek, from where this comes from in the Bible, it really was a gesture, a dismissal of saying that you are disposable. And so the act of turning the other cheek is a message that says, you can't dispose of me. I'm here and I'm not going anywhere, and I'm not going to allow you to treat me in that manner. But I'm not going to do that violently, see. I'm not going to you know, get violent around it, I'm going to just turn the other cheek. So now I want to talk about kind of the how and the when, or the when and the how of right relations, because to be in right relations, which also means to experience reciprocity, we have to want to be that. We have to want to be in right relations. We have to want to be in harmony, first with ourselves, but then with other people. We have to want to believe that being in harmony, being in reciprocity, meaning I put out and I give back, and when I take, I give out something, you know, that I'm in this reciprocity. I understand that, give and take, give and take. And so to want to be in that, to make a commitment to that, right, I have to be able to value myself, and I have to value others. And I have to value everything in life, meaning I have to also value animals and nature and, you know. There has to be a value, and it has to be a sense of self-worth. There has to be a sense of worthiness. I have to believe that I'm deserving of reciprocity. So why is it, this is a question, why is it that we might not want to be in right relation? Why might we not want to be in that? And the cosmic answer, the general answer, is fear of loss. Fear of loss. So in other words, how to be in right relations, basically you got to want it. And you got to want those things. I said you got to want to allay your fears versus transferring them. You have to want to do that, or not take on somebody else's fears, right? And so what would keep you from wanting that? And the answer is fear of loss. Because to be in right relations, to be in harmony, to be able to do reciprocity and experience reciprocity, you have to move away from not right relations. You have to move away from unharmonious relationships, also called codependency, which means you have to let go and release someone and or something that's not able to perform or be reciprocal or in balance or in harmony with you, or even support that in you. You know, as humans, we hate to experience the pain of loss, which is why we fear death. We also fear growth and development. It is very, very hard for us to deal with loss, and this is just a human thing. In some people, it is deeper based on, you know, what their core wound can be than it is in other people. But essentially, none of us likes to deal with loss. And so when I'm talking about right relations and being in that, and especially in Western culture, but it's growing in cultures all over the world, but especially predominantly in Western culture where we have not been supported in loving environment. You know, for example, I think about how children go to school every day now knowing that somebody could come in with a gun and shoot up and kill them, kill their teacher, kill their classmates. This is a reality that children are living with, especially here in the United States. And so that's not a loving relationship. It's really hard to do right relations when you got that kind of thing hanging over your head. And so it makes it really, really challenging to want to do it, to want to have it. But you know, it is just so, so, so essential. So essential that we really take on living and practicing and teaching and sharing right relations in the 21st century. Just a quick example about, you know, this loss thing, you know, just kind of how much a part of us it is as human beings. Give you a quick situation from when I was a little girl, and I had this wonderful pair of red shoes that I loved. I can still see them. They're little Mary Janes, red leather Mary Janes with a perfect red color, and I just loved them, and I loved how they looked on my feet, and I just loved these shoes. And I was about maybe 8 or 9 years old. And one day I put them on, and they were tight. They were squeezing. But I didn't care because I just loved these shoes. Well, of course, what was happening is I was outgrowing them. But I refused to let them go, and I would just squeeze my feet into these shoes and just keep going. And, of course, they started to really make my feet hurt, and I'd walk a little funny. And my mother saw me one day, and she was like, "Child, what's going on with your feet? What's wrong?" And she said, "Girl, your feet hurting." And I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want her to take my shoes away. And she said, "Girl, come over here. Let me feel them shoes." And, of course, when she could feel my toes were all, like, just stretching, like popping out of these red leather shoes. And she's like, "Girl, I got to buy you some more shoes. You're going to outgrow those ones." And I must have started crying, or at least I was crying inside, because I'm like, "Oh, no, I don't want to lose my shoes. I love my shoes," you know. But I was willing to put up with all that pain, all that discomfort, because I didn't want to lose these shoes. I didn't want to let them go. And I use that example, but you know, this is the kind of thing we will do in a relationship, in a job, in a living situation. We will, even though we may have outgrown it, we will fight to stay in it, or we will put up with discomfort, with disharmony, with the absence of reciprocity, just so that we don't have to deal with the loss. Yeah. Yeah, it's real. This is how we roll as human beings. So we have to just stay mindful of that, especially when it comes to right relations, because like I said, to really step into and practice that form of reciprocity, you are going to have to let go. You're going to have to release something. Another personal example, I got to a point in my life once I turned 40 and I had my recall of my childhood trauma and was ready to take on healing from that and began to discover how much I was living out of fear and how much I was making choices and doing things to try to stay safe, but in that safety, it was about making sure that people liked me. So I was not really being my authentic self. I was doing things and being things based on what I thought would make people like me. So I would be saying yes a lot to situations when that's not really what I wanted to do. Or I'd say no to go along with somebody else's belief system or whatever. And again, this was all unconscious. I didn't become conscious of it until, like I said, I was taking on doing my personal inner work. So I made a commitment to become my authentic self, to really find out what really worked for me and not have my fear of not being liked or my fear of having to let go of a person or a thing stop me from getting to my authentic self. And your authentic self is yourself that that values your existence and expects reciprocity, expects support, and acknowledgement, encouragement. You know, that's your authentic self. And so I can remember stepping into this, I realized that I was in a job situation that was not reciprocal. I was putting out a lot of energy. And, you know, for that time, the money was good. If I look back now, I should have been making at least $20,000 more for what I was putting out, for the energy of what I was doing and the importance of what I was doing, too. But it was also that I wasn't getting the support from my coworkers. They weren't able to support me at the level that I needed. So I decided to leave that job, and I didn't know what I was going to do next. I just knew that I could not put myself back into a situation where I was not feeling authentic and supported. And one of the first things that happens was I had this withdrawal experience for no longer having my name on a nameplate that was on the side of my cubicle. In other words, my identity, I had a personality crisis. My identity was so wrapped up in my work role, in my position, and my name on a plaque, that I really went through this kind of withdrawal. I really felt bad. I felt like I didn't know who I was. I didn't know. I felt like I had no value. Like all of my value was associated with that job. And I can remember getting to laugh at myself, like, oh my God, you really thought that's who you were, you know, instead of the role you're playing, you're doing it because this is what you're choosing to do so that you can save the children, you know, whatever. But I had really, really believed that this external experience of who I was who I was. I had no idea about the importance and the richness of my inner self, my divine self. And but that was what I decided to be on the journey about. So again, I just share that because, again, when we make these commitments, when we make these decisions, it really, you know, we uncover, you know, how our worth is so not there, how we are so attached to something outside of ourselves. And there's no way you can have reciprocity if you're not able to value yourself. There's no way you can be in right relations with yourself or others if you are attached to something that really isn't the truth of who you are. So when you commit to being in right relations, in harmony with yourself, you're also committing to being in right relations, in harmony, in reciprocity with others, okay? That's how it really works. And this means that when you're out of sync, when you're doing and participating in behaviors that don't honor your worth, your value, when your behavior in relationships is not aligned with that commitment to valuing yourself, to expect reciprocity, to expect support, you will experience a smackdown. In other words, the universe will let you know in a manner in which you cannot ignore that you are not in right relations with yourself and others. I have had several experiences of that after I made my commitment, where I got to see that a relationship, a friendship, or even a working relationship that I thought was in balance was not. And it wasn't so much about what the other person was doing or not doing. It was about me, and it was about what I was not doing, which is I wasn't speaking my truth. I was being codependent. I was feeling sorry for the person. Again, I was afraid of loss, not being able to have that person be in my life in the way that I thought they should be. You know, it turned out to be all that kind of stuff. But the SmackDown came, and the SmackDown is very bitter. The SmackDown is where, you know, all the covers are pulled off, the lights are turned up, and it's like, bam, here's what's going on. And so I realized that, you know, I realized that I needed to shift. And I've learned from my experiences that the sooner you shift, the better. And to get back into reciprocity, into that harmony, into that right relationship. So here's a personal challenge. Here's a personal challenge. It's got six parts to it, and I will post these on my Facebook page as well as on the YouTube when I now have to redo the YouTube because the sound wasn't working. But here's a personal challenge. I want you to think about when have you experienced reciprocity and harmony in relation to yourself and with others. In other words, when has the right relationship shown up in your life? What did that feel like? And it can be with family members, it can be with strangers even, but the thing is that you knew there was reciprocity, there was harmony, there was balance, there was worth, you felt worthy, you felt valued, and you were able to do that to the other person. Next, when have you given and received back what you feel you deserve? And that's in both a personal relationship, in a job experience, in a project that you've taken on. You know, think about that. When have you given and received back what you feel you deserve? Next one. When are you not in harmony with yourself, and what does that look like? Fourth one, when are you not in harmony with your relationships, and what does that look like? Of course, the more we can become aware of when we're out of balance, the more capable we are of shifting back into balance. And then number five, where are you not in harmony with yourself right now, and choose how you're going to shift that. Really important. And then last but not least, take one relationship in your life that is not in harmony and choose how you're going to shift that. And again, it's a variety of things. Some of them may be relationships that you really need to step away from because you're trying to get the person to be something for you they can't be, that they just don't have the capability. Some of it could be that you have not communicated, that you don't feel supported, that you don't feel there is reciprocal energy going on, that you feel like you're putting out more than what you're receiving or vice versa. You know, again, just notice where that disharmony is, where there is not the right relations, and then choose how you're going to shift that. And as I said, shift it as soon as you possibly can. It would be very, 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 very helpful. So, again, right relations in the 21st century. The how is us choosing to experience it and to have it despite our fear of loss, despite our fear that we'll have to release what is known. You know, when we're in a stuck situation, when we're in a painful situation, the unknown is always more beneficial to us than the known. Remember that, because yes, we all are afraid of the unknown. We're afraid to take that risk, to go through that dark tunnel. But when you're in pain, yeah, go through that dark tunnel. Go through the unknown. It will really be your salvation. And when to be in right relations, it's like all the time. We need to be in right relations all the time. I mean, that's it. And so when we're out of it, we want to get back into it. It is the way in which we need to be experiencing our lives. And the you and who else, again, is that when we make that commitment to be in right relations, we're making it not only for ourselves, but in relation to others. So we take others along with us. And again, it's never, the disharmony really isn't about the other person, because you can't control someone else. You can't change someone else. The disharmony is about you and that you get to choose. And so if it's somebody that wants to be right about, you know, being codependent and maybe being invalidating to you, not really holding you as worthy, not really appreciating you, yeah, that's someone that you need to step back from. Or you may try to communicate what you're feeling. Maybe they can shift, but if they can't shift, yeah, just step back, let it go. You know, because eventually they may get there, you know. The universe has a very interesting way of intervening and helping people to grow and to heal. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. Well, I'm going to stop and close out for tonight by first thanking my wonderful engineer, Ms. Makhtia, who is about to graduate from high school and go into Brown University, and I'm so, so grateful to her. And to her and the entire Black Hole Radio Be Well family, as they are moving into the last week of their Ramadan season, headed toward Eid, blessings, blessings, blessings to you, and have a happy, happy Eid. To all my regular listeners out there, especially Ms. Sarah, the most wonderful, wonderful divine light. And I should let you know that Ms. Sarah is really Dr. Sarah Sherman Drapkin, PhD. And she went and got a PhD at a time when most people are trying to find out what kind of retirement home they'd like to be in. And she decided, I'm going to get doctor in front of my name. I think it's time to do that. She's just an inspiration to everyone who sees her, who knows her, who has the great, great opportunity to listen to her. And so thank you, Ms. Sarah, for being who and what you are. And to all of those who have wisdom walk with me, and you know who you are, to my family, my spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, my medicine brothers and sisters around the world, and those who may be listening in or try to look in for the first time, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I could not do this work without your support. Now, next week, again, I will not be doing a live broadcast. I'll do a repeat of this one. But I will return on June 9th, and my theme for June is going to be peacemaking. Yes. Again, check out my Wisdom Walk radio page on Facebook, and my YouTube channel is Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. And last but not least, I want to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides and loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important work with and for all of you. Have a fabulous Nature Week of Change coming up, and be reciprocal to yourself and share that with others. And do remember, most importantly, that you are not disposable. You are divine. Good night now.